criminals that were there. And I just want to share a little bit about that. We've been talking this year about the kingdom of God. And I'll talk a bit on Sunday. I want to talk about really how the whole crucifixion was really a part of the whole rebellion of mankind. The climax of that was one of the events leading up to the cross. But I want to speak about when Jesus was on the cross now. And I want to read from Luke chapter 23. So hopefully that'll come up on the screen. You'll be able to follow that along with me. It says, as the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. Obviously, Jesus by this stage, after being so brutalized, was physically unable to carry the weight of that cross from what already had been done to him. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And Jesus turned and said to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, blessed are the children, childless woman, the wombs that have never borne and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry? And so Jesus there was talking about the time when the temple in AD 70, that's when the Romans destroyed the temple and incredible hardships. So Jesus was warning them not long ahead, there's going to be this problem and persecution that would come upon them. Verse 32, it talks about the other two criminals, so I really want to focus on today. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And the people stood watching, and they ridiculed, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written notice above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And so this is an amazing passage. Jesus has been so beaten and brutalized. Really all started on the Sunday before Palm Sunday. Jesus had this incredible entry into Jerusalem. The people were cheering. They were laying their cloaks down. They had the palm leaves waving and Jesus entering in. And then from then it all started to go downhill from there. Monday, after Palm Sunday, we had Monday where Jesus went into the temple and he cleansed it out, all those that were trying to make money. Ripping people off as they're coming to make their sacrifices at exorbitant prices and the pigeons and doves. And so Jesus has cleansed that out. This is a house of prayer and you guys are just trying to rip people off. And so Jesus cleansed the temple in that way. Then on the Tuesday, we had Judas who goes to the Jewish leaders and he makes a deal with them and says, look, I'll hand Jesus over to you. And for the price of 30 pieces of silver, they gave up our Lord Jesus Christ. He betrayed him for a handful of coins. And then on Thursday we had, of course, the Last Supper, which we've already read about. And then we have the cross, all of these events that on actual Good Friday when we have all the things that happened to Jesus. We have him on Thursday evening. We have him there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And then he gets marched off to the former high priest, then to the current high priest, to the Sanhedrin. He's led to Pilate, who was the one that was washing his hands and the clip there and saying, I don't want a part of this. His wife had actually been warned in a dream, don't touch this guy, he's an innocent man. And Jesus had done nothing wrong, and that's the whole point, that Jesus lived a sinless life. Because if Jesus had his own sin, then he could only die for himself. Because Jesus lived that sinless life, he could die for our sin. And so Jesus went back from Pilate. He went to Herod. When Pilate found out that Jesus was from the region of Galilee, Herod, he had jurisdiction over that part. And so he sent Jesus off to him and maybe he can deal with the problem. Herod just wanted to see Jesus as a party trick and said, come on, do a miracle, do something. And Jesus was just silent before him. Herod got pretty stroppy with him, sent him back, a few little beatings on the way, sent him back again to Pilate. And Pilate says to him, well, what do you want me to do? Shall if this guy's your king, will I crucify him? And the people are yelling out, crucify him, crucify him. Of course, that was the one day a year which there was amnesty given for a prisoner. And so there was Barabbas, who had been part of a rebellion, part of a revolt against the Romans. He's actually a cold-blooded murderer as well. And he was stood there, Jesus was there. Which one do you want to release? And any reasonable man would release Jesus. He'd done nothing wrong, but the crowd was anything but reasonable. And as such was the hatred that was stirred up in the crowd that they were crying out that for Barabbas to be released. And so they released this cold-blooded murderer. And Jesus is there. Well, what will I do with Jesus? And they're crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate, as I said, he washes his hands and said, well, I don't want any part of this. And they soldiers then take Jesus off. And again, he gets beaten again. He gets the crown of thorns. Thorns this long jammed into his skull and the blood flowing down and goes on from there. They march him up, he comes to the cross. The nails are pummeled through him in his hands, in his feet. And then there's Jesus Christ, he's hanging upon the cross. And that's really where we're taking up what happens here as we have a look at this story where Jesus at the part where he is hanging on the cross. And it's amazing, one of the things that is really important to me is when we look at Good Friday, there's really a contrast of attitudes that we have. And we want to have the right heart and the right attitude. And really there is a choice to be made. When we come to Good Friday, everyone has to make a choice about the reality of and the significance of Easter. And you make a choice. Even as those criminals, you had one on either side, they had a choice to be made. And really what it all comes down to at the end of the day, what it boils down to, is whether you acknowledge the kingship of Jesus Christ, whether he really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, where he is the Lord Almighty God who came down in human flesh and walked among us, and whether you accept that or not. And so we have Jesus there in the middle, and you have one criminal on one side and you have a criminal on the other side, and there is a choice to be made. Before we have a look at those, we have a look at the crowd. We see right earlier on, we see that about the religious leaders we've already read about how they were there sneering at him. And verse 35, the people stood watching and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, saved others, let him save himself if he's God the Messiah. And so they're mocking him and making fun of him. This is somebody that is in absolutely excruciating agony, as I said previously. The word excruciating is the highest form of pain. It's supposed to be excruciating. And then the pain of the cross was such that they had to make up a new word for it, excruciate, which means of the cross. And such was the pain. So you'd think even decent human beings or even people that maybe weren't so decent, when someone is suffering to such that extent, there'd be some compassion, there'd be something that would convict them in their heart. But all they could do was make fun of someone who was suffering in the most pitiful and hideous way known to man, and yet all they could do was to mock him, even the rulers who knew better. And then the soldiers, in verse 36, it says, the soldiers came up and mocked him, and they offered him wine and vinegar and said, if you are the king. And really that's the question, if you really are the king. They certainly didn't see him as the king, and they mocked him, the one who was the King of Kings. And again, you'd think they'd have some compassion on someone. Even on an evil man suffering, you'd have compassion, I would think. But even on someone who was sinless and innocent, as Christ clearly was, and proven to be, even against the charges, Pilate said, there's no fault in this man. There's no just cause here. And yet here he was suffering. And that's the hardest thing, I think. You're in the middle of going through a hard time. You don't want people there making fun and delighting in the torment that you're going through. But they were doing more than that. They were mocking him openly and celebrating his suffering. But then we come to these two men that are either side of Jesus Christ. And that's really what I want to focus on this morning. And there's really, basically, as I said, it comes down to when we look at Christ on the cross, our response to that. We can respond like the people who just sneered at him and they made fun of him. Or you can be like the soldiers who said, well, if he's God, well, then let him prove it. I want some sort of proof. And what do we do with Christ? Because he either was who he said he was. He was the King of Kings. He was the Son of God. However, that he was a madman and a lunatic. But we'll see that on Easter Sunday, that the very fact that Jesus rose from the dead proved beyond any doubt that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. And therefore, there's a reckoning time where we must make our own decision, our own choice, as these two thieves did. One of the thieves, it says here about one of the thieves that hung on the cross with him. It says in verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults in him. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. And so he was somebody you'd think, even on your last moment, I mean, they're all going to die. You're on a cross, you're going to die. You're dying slowly, painfully, but you're going to die. And Jesus died fairly quickly because he was so brutalized just before he even got on the cross. And then the pain of the cross as well. But you'd think that even somebody in their last gasp would somehow reach out, if there was any semblance of hope at all, that he would have tried to reach out and say, well, whatever, if you're saying is true, I want in on that, because I've got nothing left now. I'm dead. In a few hours, I'm a dead man. Yet this man, when he was confronted with Jesus on the cross, he also abused him, said it was rubbish, and went to town against Jesus. He made a choice. Everybody must make a choice when we see Christ on the cross, Christ crucified. And he made his choice. And unfortunately, it was the wrong choice. But then there's the other criminal who is on the other side of him, who begins to realize that this is no ordinary man that is here. He begins to realize that, well, we're getting punished for what we justly deserve. See, one part of coming to Christ is repentance, is to realize that we've done things wrong in our own life, is to realize that the life that we've lived is not one that pleases God. We haven't lived a perfect life. We haven't lived a pure life. And that's really what God requires, to have fellowship with him, to be with him eternity. The criminal was like that, and he unfortunately died like that. But this other criminal, when he looked at Jesus on the cross, he saw that, hang on, there's something different about him. And again, as I said, this is all about whether you see him as a king. And the most beautiful thing about this man, he tells the other criminal off, he says, what are you talking about? He says, we deserve to be here on the cross for what we've done. And the reality is, for every one of us, we deserve to be punished hideously for the things that we have done. One criminal said, well, I'm just going to go with that. But the other criminal realized that there was a little bit more. And then after telling the other criminal off and said, we deserve this guy, leave him alone, he's done nothing wrong. But he says in verse 42, he said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And so there was that point of the cross. It's that point of decision when we look at Good Friday. And as you look in your own heart and your life, Jesus is on the cross as a historical fact, inarguable historical fact, as is in fact the resurrection, as the various scholars of the day, Pliny and Tacitus and Josephus and others, documented the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. But again, we look at that on Easter Sunday. But when we see Christ on the cross, we can either make the decision to acknowledge his kingship. And certainly that was the choice this other criminal made. He realized that this was no ordinary man being punished. They were ordinary men being punished for sins and crimes that they had committed. But Jesus, who was the sinless, perfect sacrifice, did not deserve that punishment. And so this man, he surrenders himself. At the end of the day, you got nothing to lose anyway, has you? He's going to die, but the bottom line is we're all going to die. He died on a cross. Well, we're not dying on a cross, this other criminal, but we're all going to die. And he realized that, well, not only didn't he have nothing to lose, but there was something about Christ, something about Jesus on the cross, and he saw that he was the king. And so in his last things, his last recorded words here, he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And for all of us who are on this side, who stand on this side and say, Lord Jesus, Lord, I want to acknowledge that you are the king, that you are the savior, that your death is actually enabling me to come into your eternal kingdom, to have peace with God, We stand on this side and we can make that choice. Or we can stand on the other side and be like the criminal. He was dying too. He had no future, he had no hope, and still didn't acknowledge Jesus Christ. And so for everyone here this morning, I just put that challenge to us. Really, what is your attitude when you see the cross? Is it sneering contempt as the rulers and some of the people? Well, if I can have some proof, I'll believe in him, as the soldiers were saying. Or was it like the criminal that just still reviled him and heaped abuse on him? I mean, he's dying in agony himself, and yet the hatred, he still wants to pour that out on God, blame God for everything in his own life. Or be like the one who acknowledges, yeah, I've done some things in my life I deserve, but Lord, I acknowledge that you are the king and you have a kingdom. And when he acknowledges the king, when he says, yeah, you're the king, when you come into your kingdom, Jesus says to me, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that's the promise that we have for the cross of Jesus Christ. For all those who've given their life to Jesus already, we know that we'll come into his eternal kingdom. So if you stand here this morning, as we all look about the cross, it's a Good Friday, we're really focusing on the cross. As Christians, we know Jesus rose from the dead, and that's how we live our life in the knowledge. He didn't stay dead, he rose again from the dead. But today can be your decision point, and perhaps you need to say, because there's an attitude, there's choices to be made. And so let me just pray. Father, I just thank you. Lord, as we just think of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, Lord, as we think about what it means to me, what it means to us, Father, it's my prayer, Lord, that for everyone that's here this morning, Lord, it will not be sneering contempt. Father, it will not be well proven. It will not be abuse even in the middle of our own heartache. But Father, I pray that everyone that's here, Lord, will look at Jesus on the cross, acknowledge that he is the King of Kings. And by even repenting, knowing that, yeah, I've done some things, but Lord, as I give it to you, Lord, then I can have the promise of eternal life in your eternal kingdom. So, Father, I just thank you for that. Lord, we're in awe today of the love that led Jesus Christ to the cross. Father, we're in awe that Jesus would come down and choose to suffer for us, to pay the price that we deserve. And, Father, I just pray, Lord, today that if anyone that is here this day, they've never, when they look at the cross, saw what side they were on, Lord, today they will come to the point of saying, yeah, I've got to be on that right side. I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I want what he did on the cross to count for me. I want his blood that was shed to wash away my sin. I want the sacrifice to mean something for me, that I can have peace with God, a personal relationship with God, not a God that's far away, but a God that is close, Father, that I can come into relationship with him. So, Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that may not have made that commitment, Lord, that they will make that step today and say, yeah, I've got to get Jesus in my life. Lord, they'll have the courage to ask and say, will you pray with me that I might make that choice or make that decision? And, Father, for all of us that have already made that choice, Lord, about your kingdom, Father, we thank you, Lord, even as you said to disciples, you confer upon them a kingdom at the Last Supper, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have the promise, Lord, that we'll be in your eternal kingdom. Lord, we already are a part of your kingdom right now, but Lord, we will reign with you forever. And Lord, we are so grateful for that, Lord. We won't forget the cost, but Lord, we're also mindful of the joy that you've given us, in Jesus' wonderful name.